Why is Peter Pan always flying? Because he never lands. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Starting Sustainability. This is episode 145. I am your host, Kaylin Chenoweth. As always, I got a lot going on in my world, and I just want to share everything with you. So let's catch up. It's pretty exciting at the Chenoweth household. We are eagerly getting ready for baby chickens. They are coming soon. Next week, they will start hatching. I have a coworker who is also really big into chickens. She has over 60 chickens, and she knows all about the specialty breeds and how to do the genetics of crossbreeding to get different breeds of the birds and to get the different egg colors and all of that stuff. I just told her I wanted a set of rainbow eggs. I want the blue eggs, the green eggs, the dark chocolate eggs, purple eggs. I want them all. So she has taken the time to gather eggs that she believes are fertilized with the correct roosters, and they have been sitting in the incubator for a couple of weeks, and next week they will start hatching and head to our home. So we are very excited. We have the chicken coop built. You cannot just mix baby chicks in with your current chicken flock or they will get attacked. There's a real thing of the pecking order, and they will peck them to death, unfortunately. So you have to have a separate area. So we have a second chicken coop that we have built from scratch. Different than the first one that was given to us. So this time we had to build it, and we'll house the new chickens in it until they get bigger and bigger. And then you can slowly incorporate the two flocks until they get used to each other and everybody gets along and is safe. But that's something that we get to figure out. But the chickens that we are getting are egg layers. I'm very, very excited. At the beginning of the year, one of our hopes was to get meat birds going this summer. We have since learned that meat birds are super messy and require a chicken tractor, which is basically a portable coop. So our plan was to have them in our large coop, and apparently that's not a good deal. We will have to clean out the large coop almost on a daily basis because meat birds are designed to eat and poop and gain weight and grow very quickly. They only live 8 weeks. It's a very short period. They just grow very quickly and then you butcher them. I am glad that my chicken savvy friends shared that information with us before we got a bunch of meat birds, because that would have been a very stinky, repetitive chore to clean out the chicken coop every day, and we were not prepared to do that. Now our plan is to build a chicken tractor. It's already July. We keep thinking we're going to do all these things. We're just going to push it back to the goal line. We do still have time. It's definitely delayed, but we might be able to pull this off. But right now we're very excited for the egg layer chicks coming first. Meat birds might be a next year thing. We shall see. Also going on in our home life, I want to talk about a couple of pre-loved items. I did share with everybody 2 months ago, we purchased a pool from a garage sale, and we did get it up and running 2 weeks ago. There are only 3 tiny holes to patch, and we used the little Flex Seal repair kit, the as seen on TV kind. That's the one that we used. Now, this pool came in an old chargrill box, but the guy told us the measurements of 26 feet, which sounded huge, but I guess that is really only the circumference and not the diameter. It's also 42 inches tall, but the top 8 inches is an inflated ring. So in reality, it's only 34 inches deep. Either way, it worked out great because it's basically like a large kiddie pool for adults, if that makes sense. I can sit on the floor and my head is above water and both my boys can touch. That was what I wanted. Safety. Enough to get wet and cool off and for the boys to be safe. I am excited about that. Now the goal this summer is to teach my kids how to swim. They use the puddle jumper floaties right now. I hunted and I searched, and there are swim lessons, and they're always during the week, during the day, when I work, or they're full. So that's been exhausting and getting me nowhere. I found a really good free website, and I want to share this with you in case anybody else is in the same boat that I am. This free website is very helpful to you. Can now become the teacher to help teach your kids how to swim. So I was on the swim team from like first grade all the way up through high school, and I became a lifeguard. I actually did teach swim lessons one summer, and that was about two decades ago. So the details are a little fuzzy. That's why I wanted to find this website that gave me step-by-step instructions on how to best teach little kids how to swim. The website is called myswimguide.com, and then you search for beginner swim lessons for kids, level one, and then there's a level two and a level three, and you just work your way on it through the levels. But I found it very, very helpful. It is just a regular website. You have to read it. It's not a YouTube channel. It's just a website, but lots of information, free, excellent resource, because I hunted for this, and that's the best one that I found, and I really like it. Do you remember how at the beginning I said we got this pool set up 2 weeks ago? Yep, it's all green and gross now. I guess it's time we figure out the chemical stuff. It came with some chemicals, half used, but we just didn't know what chemical to do where or when. And it came with a pump, but we didn't know, do you leave the pump on all the time or is that going to burn out the pump? The pump is literally the size of our coffee maker. Therefore, I didn't know if I could just leave the pump on all the time or burn it up, or if you just run it right before you climb in the pool. We're not really sure. Now that our pool is green and gross and disgusting, we have taken the time to really figure it out. Turns out you're supposed to leave the pump on all the time, and you're supposed to put chemicals in it right away so it doesn't get green and gross. Don't wait for it to get nasty and then figure out the chemicals. That is our next adventure. Now, in my defense, in the last 2 weeks, it rained like every freaking day. When it rains all the time, I do know that will affect your pool pH and make it turn green. So hopefully the next few weeks it rains a lot less and we can get the chemicals to fix it and have a nice pool to swim in again. The other pre-loved item that I wanted to talk to everybody about was an ice cream maker. My mom had a homemade ice cream maker down in her basement forever and always. And she asked, hey, do you want this? And I said, yeah, I do. I now see why she didn't want that anymore. Those suckers are a lot of work. I thought this would be a great, fun summer activity to do with the kids. It's a wooden bucket, and you have to soak it for an hour and a half first. Then you gotta create the ice cream mix with the sugar and the whipping cream and all the ingredients. You make the mix, and then you gotta put that in the refrigerator and let it chill for an hour. And you have to take this special metal canister that it all goes into, and you have to freeze that overnight. Then you can put the frozen canister overnight into the wooden bucket that has soaked for an hour and a half. And then you can put the ice cream mix that has chilled for an hour inside of it. Then you need 2 bags of ice. It literally says 2 bags of medium-sized ice. Seriously, I have an ice maker, but that was not enough. I really did not want to run out to the store just to go buy 2 bags of ice for this ice cream maker. I just tossed all the ice that we had in and got it going. We had the option to do the hand crank, which I thought would be great and entertain the kids. After about 30 seconds, they were done with that. It did come with an attachment for an auto stirrer, whatever the word I'm looking for. Plug that in. It said to run it for 45 minutes to an hour. Cool. Did that. Pulled it out. Very much pure milkshake. Very liquidy. My kids were very anxious for ice cream because it had become an all-day process that was only supposed to last about 40 minutes. It was now an all-day adventure to get these milkshakes. And so we had milkshakes after dinner, and that was our dessert. In conclusion, ice cream makers are cool and a lot of work. And that was a one-and-done thing for us. And if anybody wants a free ice cream maker, I'm happy to give it to you because we are not using that. That's a great re-gift item. This past weekend, we did host a really fun gathering with some friends. In preparation, I discovered reusable water balloons. This is a thing. I didn't even know this, but I'm so excited. I was scrolling on Facebook and boom, there's a little ad. That's how I discovered it. Thanks, Facebook. I hunted and searched. I did find them on Amazon, and there are a few different brands. They're not American companies. It's up to you if you want to use them or not. They are terribly expensive, in my opinion. The best deal that I could find was 24 of them for $40. The price only went up from there. I kind of thought $40 was a lot of money for 24 reusable water balloons. But I guess that is reasonable. Now, granted, they are reusable water balloons. Let me see if I can describe these. Think of a clamshell that forms a perfectly round sphere, and it has two halves that are connected with a little joint area. So the sphere is opened up into two halves and connected, and you put it into a bucket of water and they will automatically close up together and seal up the water inside. And the spheres themselves are clear, thin, I'm guessing a silicone or a rubber. I didn't actually buy them. I'm just going off of the video, so that's what I'm guessing it is. It's very tiny and thin, and when you throw it, the force of the impact will let it open up and the water splashes out. And then you can go grab the empty ones and dunk them in the bucket and do it again. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. You can use these over and over again. It's going to be awesome. Just have a handful of buckets all around the yard so you can constantly be refilling them and throwing them. They are clear, which makes them hard to find in the yard. They will have a ring, one little ring, like the part that connects the two halves does have a color, green, blue, pink. And I thought, okay, that'll still be easy to find, but green to me isn't really going to be all that easy to find in the green grass. And since the majority of the item is clear, I wasn't even sure if it was going to be that easy to find in the grass. And that was my big hesitation. Not only the cost, but are these going to be easily lost? Therefore, I did not buy them, and that's okay. But I thought it was a really cool concept. And if anybody else has kids that wants to do these reusable water balloon things, give it a shot. Check it out. What I did for our party with our friends, I grabbed some old sponges, cut them up, and tied them together so they made little ball shapes, and we just dunked those in the water and threw them. I reused what I already had, saved $40, didn't lose any of them. Life was great! Here at work, there's been a couple of changes, and one of the things for the last 2 years, I took great pride in championing sustainability. We have a bunch of cafes. We have 6 locations with cafes, and we championed sustainability, and we got composting involved in all of the cafes. And it took a while because there was a lot of resistance. So excited that that went through, and now my heart broke. It has come down to canceling the composting because the cost was just too high, and the company is over budget, and that was the first thing that they cut. So that sucks. I will still continue to champion sustainability any way that I can. It was just really frustrating knowing that it was so much work to get composting implemented in all the cafes, and there was so much resistance along the way, and it was such a victory when we got there to let it not even make it a whole year, and it's canceled. That sucks, for lack of a better word. Just blech. The other thing in my work world, because you're so interested, I know. Right now it is mid-year reviews and open enrollment because we closed all the cafes for COVID and when we reopened, it was July, August. Our annual benefits are August to August. They're not on the calendar year like most companies. Ours is August to August, which means right now in July, it is major crunch time to get everything set up and ready for open enrollment. This is my first time doing open enrollment, and we're doing it with a brand new system. And I had a third party person that I was working with all of the benefits, and they quit on us. So that sucked. That only made the stress level go up a whole lot more. So my world's been very stressful, very busy, not sleeping very much. I'm sure you can all relate. I am very excited for August will be when everything wraps up and is done. And then I'm going to go on another vacation in September. It's already planned. That first week of September, I'll be going on vacation. Like I said already, we are around a little bit past the halfway point of the year. I thought now would be a great time to do a bucket list review. This is where I keep myself in check and see how we are doing with our goals. That is something we do instead of doing New Year's resolutions. We do a bucket list at the beginning of the year. Here's a bucket list of the things that we want to accomplish and achieve by the end of the year. So instead of a resolution that you have to maintain all year long, you now have a bucket list of things you want to accomplish and you have the whole year to get it done. But I do like to do a mid-year review just to see where I'm at and how we're doing. First up is to get a greenhouse. Fail, haven't even started on that one. Off to a great start. The next one is indoor herbs in the wintertime. I did get outdoor herbs. I got that one going. So it's not winter yet. I still have time to figure that one out. New vegetable plants in the garden is number 3. I did get potatoes in this year. That was a new plant for me. I'm very excited. And we got broccoli in. That one's brand new to us. And asparagus. And that one is growing. What else is new? Cabbage. And I planted cauliflower, but it didn't make it. I also planted Brussels sprouts, and they didn't make it. I planted peas. They didn't make it. I've had a lot of fails. Also, I don't know what happened. Last year, we had oodles and oodles of tomatoes all over the place. That's why I figured out canning, because I had spaghetti sauce, barbecue sauce, tomato soup, salsa. We were doing all this stuff with all the tomatoes. This year I got more tomato plants because I was like, yeah, that's so great. We ran out of spaghetti sauce. We ran out of salsa. We ran out of soup. We're going to do more tomato plants. That way we can have more tomato stuff to get us throughout the year. I'm so excited. Doubled up the tomato plants and they just have slowly been dying one by one. Everything else in the garden is going decently well. I say everything else. Pepper plants are still good. The herbs are doing good. I got the broccoli, that stuff, but man, those tomatoes, I don't know what happened. They grew, they formed, every single one of them formed one tomato, and the tomato slowly turned red as the plant went from green to yellow to a stick. And the whole garden got watered equally. The whole garden got the same treatment for compost and nutrients and peat moss. I don't know. It's just not a good year for tomatoes. I've also noticed all my mulberry trees. We have like six of them on the property. Last year, I had so many mulberries. I made mulberry jam and mulberry syrup and all this stuff. This year, no mulberries, barely forming on the tree. When I walk around, I look at the trees, I might find two or three berries on them. Whereas before there were thousands, I would just look up and see thousands of mulberries, and now there's hardly any at all. I guess it's just an off year, or the birds are really hungry and super fast. I don't know. Anyways, that's enough on the garden. That was a really long update. Next. I wanted to get a root cellar. That's failed. And that one's probably not going to be realistic because we would dig that up and put it in the backyard. And we finally got a map of our septic field, and it is most of the backyard. Therefore, digging down into it is not really an option anymore. We plan on updating the kitchen. We have it picked out and designed. We have not started at all. We still got half a year. And the kids' bathroom. Also no progress there. And the master bedroom and the master bathroom. Again, not getting very far. Now, for the summer, I said, hey, while the weather is nice, we're going to do a lot of outdoor stuff and take care of the outdoor things on our fix-it list for the house. And when the weather is crummy, then we'll go inside and fix the things inside. So we were able to. The next one is expand the garden. Check. We added another garden bed. We've expanded the garden. I added on grapevines. I got my goals in, so I'm good with that. We wanted to raise chickens. I already explained the meat bird situation. That one's not coming through yet, but we are getting more egg layers, and this time we're getting them as little babies, and we get to raise them. I'm very excited about that. I wanted to grow seedlings for the garden. I did this spring. I got the little mini greenhouse starter kit that you can like set up in, well, you set it like on the table or in a windowsill or whatever. And I planted all the seeds, and all these little seedlings came up, and then they just fell right over. They didn't even make it a whole inch. They literally made it a half an inch and then just fell over, every single one of them. That is not a strong suit of mine. And that's okay. That's all right. Oh, and the last one, I forgot what was on my bucket list. And the last one is Santa Claus, Indiana for Christmas time. I forgot about that one. But we do have a town here in Indiana called Santa Claus. It is home of Holiday World, which is a theme park that I've also never been to. But I just wanted to at least go to Santa Claus, Indiana, because I've never been. And I thought it would be great to go at Christmas time. The other thing that was new this year that Channing and I put down was some monthly goals. Not just a year bucket list, but we put down monthly goals. And that included, for Channing, he wanted to focus on health. Every month he wanted to do something that focused on his health, whether it was making a doctor's appointment, doing a new workout routine, getting new gym equipment to do a new workout routine, just something related to health. And he had a surgery earlier this year, and that's all I'm going to say about that. He's getting on board and taking care of himself, which I'm very happy to hear. Another thing that we wanted to do every month for me, that was Channing's goal, was health. For me, I wanted to get more reading in. I felt like I've kind of fallen off of reading books. So far, I've accomplished three this year. I used to do a book a month and then I had kids, and now if I three at the half year mark is a win in my world. I also wanted to do more crafts this year and I haven't done any of that, and that's okay. But we as a family also set monthly goals. Channing and I wanted a date night once a month, and we wanted a family something, either a family day out or a family activity or a family night where we hung out and did something specifically just us that was something that we didn't normally do. We have been doing pretty good at that. The date nights are not the traditional date night of we pay a sitter to come over and we leave the house and go drop a bunch of money on a meal. That's not happening. We are frugal. We like to keep the money that we work really hard for. So our date nights are all the kids went to bed early, cool, now we can go play a board game, or we can design our kitchen together, which is fun for us. So that was one date night. So I was like, we did get the kitchen plan. We'll do different things. We might even just make a fancy dinner or make a dessert. Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, there's this new movie on Netflix or TV show. Let's check it out. We've even done a trip to the craft store and got a craft or an activity like launching rockets. That was supposed to be a date night, but we totally got the kids involved because that was a lot more fun. The point is, even if we are not successful of doing it every single month, we are reminded of it every month. We have it written out on a piece of paper on their fridge. So every time we go into the kitchen, we see it and we think to ourselves, hey, did we plan an activity this month? Did we plan a date night this month? Did we accomplish it? If the answer is no, let's start making that a focus and getting it done. The other cool thing about bucket lists is that it's your goals for the end of the year. That means right now at the halfway point, if you want to edit it, modify your goals, or even add something new, you totally can. And this year, I've developed I've rekindled my passion for the church and belonging, the sense of community. I was pretty involved in the church when we lived down in Franklin. COVID came and shut it down. The church did reopen. I went back a couple of times and then we moved up to Lafayette. Since we've been in Lafayette, Indiana, I go to the church that my parents go to, which is pretty old-fashioned and was really hard for me to be excited about. And now our church is putting in a really darn good effort of making church fun. And they have a whole committee and everything. We've got new lively music. It was always the hymnals, the old hymnals out of the book. The church is, I'm probably one of the younger people in the church. I really am. When they have a Sunday school for kids, it's my kids and like one other kid. That is it. It's a small church. Very, very small church. But we are getting there. So it's a good effort to make church more exciting, to make it more fun. So we are getting more out of church and getting the feedback. And part of that is I want to not just get more involved in the church, but really get back to the roots of Christianity and learn about the Bible and really dig in. I'm familiar with the Bible stories, but I've not studied them, and that's something that I wanted to do. So I've added that into my bucket list this year. And if you are interested, you don't have to. I'm not pushing anything. But if you are interested, if your curiosity is piqued, I discovered this really cool thing called The Bible Project. And they have a podcast and they have a YouTube channel. And what's really awesome is, okay, the basics is there are 66 books in the Bible. And to read the entire Bible and study all 66 books is going to take a very long time. And it's going to be a little bit complex. That's where The Bible Project comes in. They make 5 to 7 minute videos explaining each book of the Bible. And then they go through and they tie together the themes throughout the Bible. It really connects all of the dots and it helps deliver the messages from the Bible clearly. And that's really cool. So I've started on that. And that is my goal to incorporate that more. I'm not going to say that I'm going to finish it by the end of the year, but get it started, get it involved, and get going on it. And I also just finished a book called A Year of Living Biblically, A Year of Living Biblically, and getting tongue-tied at the same time. It's written by A.J. Jacobs, and it's really interesting. So what this fella did, he's an atheist, and he decided to learn about the Bible, and he wanted to make himself a human project, and that's what he did. He opened up the Bible, he read it, he wrote down a list of all of the rules, and for an entire year, he had to follow the rules of the Bible. It's very humorous and enlightening at the same time, and it's kind of a good introductory to some of the wild and crazy rules of the Bible, and he does a great job of explaining where the rule came from. It's not just him. He got a whole committee, a priest and a rabbi, and he got, you know, head leaders from different religions, because everybody interprets the Bible a little bit differently. So when he comes across a question or a passage that doesn't make sense, he'll take it to his committee and they help explain it and how they each interpret it. It's pretty, I enjoyed it very much. I think if you are interested, you will also enjoy it. Other things I'm going to add to my bucket list is figure out chemicals for a pool. That wasn't planned at the beginning of the year, but that's what happened. My point is, with a bucket list, you can edit it, you can change it, you can add to it. It's yours. It's yours to do. It's not like anybody is holding you accountable or grading you on this. There is no failing. You just delay or you change your mind on something, and that's okay. Totally fine. That's how the bucket list works. Feel free to do it at home. If you haven't done it already, it's not too late. You still got a good 5 months left of this year. And now part two of this podcast. This is inspired by my trip to Gatlinburg that I did with my siblings a couple of months ago. What I noticed about Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, if you've ever been, you've probably noticed this too, Dolly Parton is all over the place and is well loved by everyone. I didn't know too much about Dolly Parton and wanted to learn more about her. So I did what I do best. I found a podcast to listen to. It's called Dolly Parton's America, and it talks about her start in the business and how she got to where she is now. It also follows her from her Tennessee mountain home beginnings all the way through her philanthropy work. It's pretty awesome. I'm not getting paid to promote that podcast. I just found it very informative and educational and entertaining at the same time. One thing I did learn while listening to that podcast was that her first movie role was in the movie called 9 to 5. You might have heard her song, Working 9 to 5. Yes, I would play it, but I don't own the rights to that music, so you just get to hear my voice instead. Anyways, since I'm in HR now, my ears perked up as I learned about the importance of this movie, and I wanted to share it with you and thought you might find this as a fun, interesting thing to learn about. Let's take a step back into the 1970s. At this moment in time, you have millions of women working for wages for the first time. Women prior to the 70s couldn't even get credit in their own name. They had to get a man, a brother, husband, or whoever in order to get credit. That was the culture back then. And there were a bunch of economic forces and civil rights legislation all coming together, and all of a sudden, you now have 12 million women entering the workforce in mass. And the single most common job for women to hold was a secretary or office clerical position, and the women who held those positions were basically treated like a second wife. For example, they were expected to get the coffee and to be a sex symbol in the office. They would get hit on the butt and regularly be disrespected by their bosses. Women started to go on strike. Women from various workplaces, hospitals, insurance companies, publishing houses, shoe factories, all of them, they formed a group and created a citywide organization called 9 to 5. And over the next couple of years, 9 to 5 created an office workers' bill of rights implementing minimum standards. Pay discrepancies are reported, and almost 40% less pay for women doing the exact same job at the same skill level as a man. Pathetic. The 9 to 5 organization teamed up with Phil Donahue. He hosted a popular TV show called Daytime. They would do an annual Bad Boss contest. The contest was answering the question, "What is the worst thing your boss makes you do?" One winner was a man who owned his own business. He was late for a meeting and he had a rip in his pants, right in the back of his pants, and he asked his secretary to sew the rip while he kept the pants on. He dropped his pants and she sewed the rip. That was the winner. That's like, would not fly nowadays at all. There was also a boss who required his secretary to vacuum up his nail clippings from the floor. He won on a different year. After the Bad Boss contest winner was announced, a bunch of women would go deliver a prize to the winning boss in front of a bunch of news cameras. 9 to 5 activists would also file lawsuits and fight for equal pay. Jane Fonda, a movie actress, was friends with one of the 9 to 5 leaders and was fascinated by hearing the stories of what working women were up against. Jane Fonda had the idea of making a movie about all of this. She and some producers attended a 9 to 5 activist meeting of about 40 women. One of the producers asked them if they had ever dreamed of getting even with their boss, and the place lit up. The women shared their dark fantasies, and boom, that's how the movie 9 to 5 was created. It's a tribute to women who were overworked, underpaid, and pushed to the edge by an ungrateful boss. The movie is about three female office workers played by Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlinson, both are from Grace and Frankie on Netflix if you've ever seen that, and of course, Dolly Parton. In the movie, they had had enough of their male boss, and they got even. And the movie was a huge success, mostly because working women could relate. The 9-to-5 activism group became a full-fledged union and added over 20 local chapters almost immediately. Membership soared at that point. Office workers all over the country felt empowered and uplifted and seen for the first time because of that movie. Way to go, Jane, Lily, and Dolly. We appreciate you all. It's now time for the challenge this week. It's pretty simple. Check your bucket list. Hopefully you did it. If not, it's not too late. But if you did, give it a check. Where are you at on your list? Is there anything that you want to change or add to it? Because now is the time. The next episode will air on July 31st, and we're going to cover the Church Rock Mill Spill. This is the largest uranium spill in the United States. Continue to save the world, Sustainer Nation, and I will talk to you all again on July 31st. Have a great one. Bye.